On the show today, we have Advantage Analytics and Legg talking about 6 data transformation lessons from Major League Baseball for credit unions. So check it out. I remember watching the movie Moneyball. This is kind of where it all started, was this movie Moneyball. But, you know, obviously it started further back than the movie because of the history there. But we've been talking data, you know, comparing or in baseball for quite a while now, and how it's worked to their advantage. You know, it's worked with many, many teams out there. And now we're kind of bringing it to the credit union industry. And I wanted to know kind of what the correlation is between credit unions and baseball before we get into the 6 data transformation lessons that we can learn.
Absolutely.
Here.
So let's just kind of back at the bus. As you know, we've talked about this before, and I know you've had Eric Levin from Advantage on talking about this wonderful partnership that we have with Microsoft. And that really was the spark for me. I was like, what we're talking about now is transformation. So who's transformed themselves in ways that are just really fantastic and easy to just get your arms around, and Moneyball was the first thing. I mean, that took, 4 seconds to come up with that. And I went, okay. So as I started digging around, I really realized there's a lot of similarities to baseball and credit unions. And just a couple of them really are, you know, more in the point of, number one, they're both beautifully mature industries, right? Mm-hmm. They've been around for, in some cases, over 100 years.
Oh, yeah.
Number two, they both are very much, I want to say, conservative in the way that they, you know, look at innovation and adoption. They've done one thing, and that is baseball, exceptionally well. And credit unions have done one thing, and that is, you know, retail banking, exceptionally well. Mm-hmm. So they have these anchors that they've done. Now, what's interesting is the world has sort of changed on them a little bit and has said, you know, you need to change it up. And the one area that they were both able to, you know, both can lean into is data.
Right.
And when you look back at baseball, they've done incredible things with data. And the one that really caught me was this book that I was reading, and it's all about the Pittsburgh Pirates. And what's fascinating about that one, and let me just do a quick call out for the book, because it is a pretty awesome book. It's literally called Big Data Baseball. I mean, that doesn't get any better than that, right? And I mean, really, Travis Shotchick is the author. And what he does is he really does a nice job of saying, hey, Pirates, 2012 Pirates. We're not talking like 1990s or even anything. We're talking like pretty close here. They had a serious challenge, and their challenge was they had not been to the playoffs in 20 years. They had pretty stinking ballpark attendance.
Mm-hmm.
They had pretty low morale, and Pittsburgh Pirates, you know, what's really sad about it is the Penguins, the NHL team, because they'd done so well with their performance, was really eclipsing the town. So that people weren't thinking about Pittsburgh as, you know, a baseball town, or even more than just beyond, and you know, a hockey town. They were thinking of it only hockey. So there's all this ick, and that's really the point where I said, you know what, credit unions don't have that kind of ick, but they're in a similar challenge. The world is shifting, and fintechs are coming in, and there's a lot of different challenges. And wow, what can we learn that, you know, what are the successes that baseball has done that, you know, the credit union industry can take and really make their own and really help them transfer? And I mean, you talk about a season. We've only got really, what, 9 months, 10 months?
Oh, I know. It's a
to
long
go from,
season.
From seriously, let's just say, not acceptable part of the world to playoffs. I mean, that is very short in the world. And they did it using data. So I guess that's a little bit longer than you wanted.
No,
but that
no.
was kind of backstory.
No, because like your first lesson here is it's both industries kind of deal with relying on gut instinct and tradition, which is so huge in baseball, obviously, and credit unions as well. But now there's the whole data analytics thing coming into play, where we're kind of evolving into that. And I just wanted to get your take on lesson number one here of how they complement each other, because you can still use both at the same time, right?
Well, that's the whole point, I really think. So when you think about baseball, it's truly been, how does this feel? It's been very much a feeling. It's, you know, obviously it's an athletic event. Credit unions, it's the same thing. They started because of the feeling. They got, you know, 5 to 7 people in a room together to start a credit union and put their money in for deposits. It's because they wanted to have a better financial opportunity. They wanted to start something. And if you ever look, I mean, I'm clearly a credit union nerd, but if you ever look back at some of the old stories about when they did the first lending policy, it wasn't, here was your FICO score. It was, how do we feel about this? Just Joe needs a tractor. How are we going to use our funds to get Joe's tractor? So it was very much that feeling. And like I like to say, it's that heart. It's really the heart part. And to that extent, yes. But now when we look at baseball, they said, okay, we've got this physicality, but we've also got this data. I mean, the data facts that they were able to get nerderific. Oh, I mean, I just amazing, right? So cravings have that same opportunity. And so now you're marrying the feeling you have, so the heart, with the head, which is the data analytics.
Right.
And I mean, credit unions have always led with this heart. So now let's just match up with the head and let's really see what we can do as an industry to, at the end of the day, make that member's life just sing and be fabulous and do what they want to do, which is help the member.
Right. And I'm kind of thinking of another movie comparison. It's a Wonderful Life compared to, I don't know if there's some sort of data analytics movie out right now. It's kind of mixing those two together, but that's a whole other topic. So now lesson number two is, how do powerful data-driven insights help conservative industries like baseball and credit unions make these big changes? Because for a lot of credit unions out there, this is a big leap. And I think for baseball, it was the same thing, especially in the beginning when they started using data analytics.
Exactly. And that, and again, like I said, there was just so much off this book, again, kind of nerd out moment, but there was so much that just aligned for me. And that one was really the point of, well, how do we, you know, what are the things we can learn? And what was really fascinating about the data for the baseball was that they could say, you know what, there's so much of what we currently have, our current data, right? So what are the conditions, the playing conditions? What can we learn about our teams? I mean, just by doing just video, how can we learn about our opponents? If we just do one shift to the left or to the right on this particular player and respond to them differently, that has a huge impact. We can win. I mean, very subtle things, but they didn't have to buy new data. They had to have some systems that were starting to play, but they were very slow to take on to any of the systems that were in Moneyball. They were very slow. So it was a beautiful combination of what do we have and what can we use right now and how can we see actions?
Right, right.
And you know, obviously credit unions are in a very similar boat. I mean, in my opinion, I think credit unions have more data than Amazon. I'm not saying we're going to kick Amazon, you know, to the curb anytime soon. But we have a lot more data. So why don't we take what we have? And yes, credit unions, you can buy a lot more data if you want. But what you have is incredibly powerful. Incredibly. And like we're talking about it, transactions, member spend. I know your credit worthiness. I know what you're going to need next. I don't have to go farther than what I have. I just need to connect it together. You're going to be able to see very quickly what the member is looking at that's not you. Who's disrupting you? How can you find out where your competition is? How do you price for your competition? How do you make sure that this is where the member needs to be, and how do you solve it better? We know, you know, credit unions' products and services are much better than their competitors, so why can't we get out there?
Yep.
So that's kind of where that part, you can see it coming together very naturally.
Gotcha. And so that kind of brings me to lesson number three, is one of the biggest keys to success here is getting the right talent, technology, and processes in place. So what advice do you have to get these three pieces of the puzzle to fit correctly together? Because this is, I mean, just getting the talent is you know, hard enough, and then finding the right technology and then implementing processes.
You know what? We lost audio. I can't hear you.
Hang on. Now we're good. All right, I'm back.
Okay, good. That was awesome.
So, so how do we get these three pieces to fit correctly together?
Okay, that's huge. And let me add one more T onto that, because we talked about, you know, talent and tech and process. There's actually time. Let's just start with time at the beginning, okay? You know, we're not talking about time as this is a project you start and you finish. We're really talking about a journey, and you're really starting a data journey. And that's really what the pirates did. They didn't just say, okay, we're going to do this one thing.
Right.
They realized this is a whole new way of doing it. So you really have to think about the time as this is different. So with that, then you need to think about the process. Who's going to be part of my team? What does that team look like? Who's going to be my champion? How am I going to have these discussions? Where do I need to go? What's going to be all those pieces? I need to know that this is going to be a long time horizon, and I need to have the right people in the room. And that right people is really going to be that leadership team, because your entire, just like with the pirates, everybody across that whole organization was using data. Not just somebody, not just the manager, and not just, you know, one particular person on the field. Everybody was. So in credit unions, you need to have that leadership team that's all going to be embraced there. So that's kind of, you know, your sort of your time and your talent, your process piece. But the tech part is the part that after you say, what is that I want to solve for? And when we're talking about how you kind of start into it, it's really looking out at what's that current friction that you have right now and how can you use data to solve it, right? So what's going to be the technology I need? And here's the key part. What's the technology I need today, but who's also going to serve me in the future where I want to be? So in that point, then you need to sit, kind of step back and say, okay, what I have, my dream list now, my dream list of where I want to be, and then do I need to build it or I need to buy it? And that's kind of where you start from that aspect. And then, of course, the talent, let's get kind of in this last one. Yes, there's going to be some serious talent you're going to have to bring into the organization. However, the very first talent you need to look at is what you currently have. you're going to have to start giving these people the ability, the skill set to move from, you know, not just saying, hey, this is how I do with my gut, but being able to say, hey, I'm now going to be a data-centric, you know, embracer, and I'm going to use this to solve the member's problem. And that really is something that everybody has the ability to do. They just need to have the data they trust to be able to do that. So it's all there. Yep. Again, I don't want to say, hey, you have to go out and buy something new or you have to do something. I think it's, you just got to start.
Right.
I mean, if I just say, it's just like baseball. They just had to start.
Yep.
They just had to.
You have options.
They weren't going to be around. I mean, that was the end of the game. I mean, here was the manager saying, hey, if nothing doesn't happen this year, I'm out, and who knows what happens to this particular franchise. So
true. Good point. Good point. Good point. All right. Lesson number four. How do you find hidden value in the data? In other words, how do you know what to look for? Because you said at the top of the show, Criteans have all this data. I mean, they have more data than Amazon. So how do they know what to look for? How do they know what's valuable?
Right. And that's a really good question. And I think value, of course, means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But when you look at it, again, it goes back to what's the member's friction point? And if you could get many different people in the organization within the credit union, and you just ask the front line and say, what's the biggest pain the member has doing business with us?
Yeah, yeah.
Put that on a list, priority rank that. You've got more data behind that than you'll ever need to be able to support that. Just start there.
Okay.
Because if you can make that member's life better, and let's be honest, we're not going to remove all the friction. That's just not possible. Mm-hmm. But we can make that experience less friction.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a huge, huge competitive advantage.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Lesson number five, how important are communication and cooperation in this process? Because I've been hearing about every time we go to a conference, it's we got to collaborate to compete. We got to cooperate with each other in order to take on the big guys or whomever you want to take on. So sounds like it's a big deal here as well, right?
Well, there's a lot of pieces here. Let's think about this, okay? Kind of the one we've been skirting a little bit around has been, you know, culture.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Credit unions like baseball have not been an entity where you're like, whoa, you are super techie, okay? So because again, it goes back to that heart. We want to make sure we've got the right people. So we've really got to think about culture and how do you change a culture that's through a lot of collaboration, a lot of trust building, and a ton and a ton and a ton of communication. Mm-hmm. You just can't walk in and say, hey, I got this new techno and it's going to be fabulous and here, everybody enjoy. It's going to be, all right, we're going to solve a member's friction. Everybody's in board. We're all flying in formation. This is how we work. This is why we do it. Does everybody get on board with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, and a lot of times, who do you have to start with is the board. I mean, there's many times that, you know, the board, you know, and God love them because they're doing an incredible volunteer position, but sometimes they may not be looking at it in the same impactful way that the leadership is. And they'll need some education as to why do we want to make this shift? We've been doing things fine for so long.
Right.
So you have kind of a board culture opportunity you need to, you know, start with communication, education, collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, you know, kind of the I want to say the frontline tier. And then you have, of course, your management. So you really have three audiences, but there's really a fourth audience there. And that's going to be the member.
Oh, yeah.
That is really the one. And that's the one you need to tell them, like, hey, we are listening and we do care. And mm-hmm. these are important things. And mm-hmm. we want to change. And can we please work with you mm-hmm. to learn more and to be able to change?
Indeed.
So, yes. And now let's just add one in. I mean, why are we cooperatives? Because we do share. And one of the things that I think is just absolutely beautiful about the creating space is we do say, hey, do you have that lending policy? Can I look at that?
Yeah.
I'm like, sure, here you go. You know, we don't, you know, that is truly one of our superhero strengths. And this is now a great time to say, what are you doing? I'd like to learn. What are you doing? Hey, can we all make this better?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was just, I'm glad you said that because I was just at a conference last week and one of the credit unions had hired a person from the banking industry.
Right.
And as I can't remember what the position was, but he was telling me, he said, I cannot believe how many people share information here. We never did this on the other side of the fence. So he says, wow,
right.
I mean, it's really powerful stuff that you can kind of collaborate like that and see what's working and what's not working. So man, that's huge. That's huge.
You know, but to that point though, I mean, this is what I think is so cool. And luckily I get to travel around a lot and see a lot of different worlds. But one of the things that I think is so neat is when you go to a credit union conference, what do you see people do? They hug. They actually are like, hey, it is so good to see you. They hug. I mean, that is, as a nonverbal, that's a huge, beautiful point. I mean, they truly like each other and they truly like what they're doing and mm-hmm. it's lovely.
Yeah.
You just, if you get to walk to other parts of the world and you see that, you don't see people hugging. You just don't.
No.
So We hug.
Yeah, you won't see that in the semiconductor industry. I don't think people are very huggy in that industry. So, but anyway, but I'm glad you brought up the board, though, because that leads me to lesson number six, your lesson number six. Why is leadership buy-in so critical? Because we always hear like, okay, good things always start at the top and get, right. A complete alignment, a complete buy-in by the whole organization. So is this what you're talking about here?
100%, but let's just talk about champions for a minute. Okay. You know, a champion doesn't necessarily have to be the CEO, but it's got to be somebody who's at enough level to be able to have the power to say, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to stay on it, and it's a priority. Because we all know that you start your day or you start your journey at the credit union, and all of a sudden you've got 5 things, and that's 25 things, and you've got 125 things, and you know, you're moving in all directions, and then all of a sudden you have an audit, then you have this, and you have all that. Mm-hmm. It's all about how do we do this now, and how do we keep it up with that champion?
Yep. So
it's important to have that role and that position moving and being as impactful as they can. And really just taking it and owning it.
Yep, indeed, indeed. All right, any final notes to wrap up here? Because I remember you had kind of a final paragraph in this post about taking action. So
yes.
What's this all about?
Yes. Okay, so I guess... you've got awesome noises. I've got awesome noises going on. We have like magic noises
my
going
dog.
In this. Oh, hi, Whoopi. Hey, I'm all with you.
And we're professional here. It's all right. We're all professional.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Okay. So I guess you know what? It's Friday. So let's wrap this up. In summary, I guess some of the big points I would say is, you know, data has moved the game for baseball. It's moved it forward so much faster and so much better, and it's going to do the same for credit unions. I guess, too, you know what? Data is just not for special anymore. Data is for every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just you're going to use it every day. It's not always going to solve some big problem. It's every day. Old school beliefs can absolutely and should exist with, you know, new ones. Embracing the data is what you need to do. And it's not going to be easy, but it's something that can be fun.
Right.
So let's do that. And I guess the last kind of two are change needs to happen. Because if you really think about this, what's going on in the world is, you know, if you stand still in a baseball game, what's going to happen? Somebody can strike out.
Right, right.
So that's going to be the same thing that's happened to the credit union space. So let's not have that happen.
Gotcha.
And then I guess finally is lead with the heart, but always support and follow with the head.
And cool. Very cool. Nice message to end on. Oh, and where can we find the blog post?
It's going to be at, of course, Advantage Analytics. And give us just a couple weeks. We've got a few. We're doing kind of a redesign on the website.
Okay.
So this is backed in there. But don't be far away from us. We've got a lot of great, you know, and that's where you can find almost anything you're looking for about us.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great site.
All right. Very cool. And Lee, thank you very much. Appreciate the time as always. Always great information. And
thank you.
We'll check in next time.
All right. Take care.
Thanks.